you have your Bibles tonight, find, if you would, the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, Galatians chapter number 6 will be our passage of Scripture tonight, our text. I announced the subject of the lesson this morning, and I want to be a blessing to you tonight. I hope you have a pen or a pencil, something to write with that's close by. And I want to give you some thoughts tonight that are not original with me. I don't do this very often, but they're not original with me. But they blessed me. And so I want to be able to pass them on to you. And I want to preach to you tonight on the subject of tough days. Tough days. We all have them. Amen. We all have them. To say that you have never had a tough day is not to say the truth. They do vary in how they manifest themselves in our lives. Some are worse than others. Some are devastating and some are just dreadful. Some may have one or two or three kinds of problems during the day. And sometimes the day feels like it's just raining problems. You normally know a tough day because you not only do you experience it with your senses, but you feel the weight of it on your body. That end of that day usually sounds something like this. Tough day. Tough day. I found an interesting little story that was written and presented to me that I think does a wonderful job at describing the fullness of a tough day, the inability to escape a tough day. I want to read it to you, and I want you to follow along with me and try the best you can to visualize this man's day. What I am reading to you is an actual legitimate activity or absent sick leave request that was handed in by a man to his work. This man is a construction man. This man is a man that was a hard hat employee. Listen to his day and see if you can find some identification. When I got to the building, I found that the hurricane had knocked off some bricks around the top. So I rigged up a beam with a pulley at the top of the building and hoisted up a couple barrels full of bricks. When I had fixed the damaged area, there were a lot of bricks left over. Then I went to the bottom and began releasing the line. Unfortunately, the barrel of bricks was much heavier than I was. And before I knew what was happening, the barrel started coming down, jerking me up. I decided to hang on since I was too far off the ground by then to jump. And halfway up, I met the barrel of bricks. Coming down fast, I received a hard blow on my shoulder. I then continued to the top, the bricks dragging down, hoisting me up, banging my head against the beam, getting my fingers pinched and jammed in the pulley. When the barrel hit the ground hard, it burst at its bottom, allowing all the bricks to spill out. At this point, I was now heavier than the barrel. So I started down again at a high speed. Halfway down, once again, I met the barrel coming. Up fast, and it received severe injuries to my shins. When I hit the ground, I landed on the pile of spilled bricks, getting several painful cuts and deep bruises. At this point, I must have lost my presence of mind because I let go of my grip on the line. Here comes the barrel down fast, giving me another blow on my head and putting me in the hospital. I respectfully request sick leave. barrel getting me going up, the barrel getting me going down, and the barrel on top of me. My friend, that's a tough day. Sometimes it just feels like you've been slapped silly by the barrel, coming and going. Mama said, there'd be days like this. Somebody said, cheer up. It could be worse. The guy said, I cheered up. Then it got worse. You've heard going from bad to worse. Jumping from the frying pan into the fire. Between a rock and a hard place. Sometimes you honestly wonder, why in the world did I ever get out of bed? You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get out of bed in the morning and I begin to kind of think, I wonder how I'm going to go to bed at night. I do. I think about that. What kind of day am I going to have? Sometimes I think, who's going to call me and tell me they had a death? Sometimes I think, what's going to happen? Now, God, my whole family's going somewhere today and we're getting up. Now, are we all coming back tonight? You know what that thought does to me? It makes me pray. Tough days. You know, sometimes, invariably, when you're going through a tough time, people want to try to help. I think that's where we get the phrase, with friends like you, who needs enemies? Try as they may, as joyful as they want to be, and as helpful as they desire to be, sometimes they're just not a lot of help. Sometimes they can do more damage than they can do good. I read another story about these four guys who decided to go mountain climbing one day. In the middle of the climb, one fellow slipped over a cliff. He dropped about 60 feet. He landed with a thud on the ledge below. The other three, hoping to rescue him, yelled, Joe, are you okay? I'm alive, but I think I broke both my arms. We'll toss a rope down to you and pull you up. Just lie still, said the three. Fine, answered Joe. A couple of minutes after dropping one end of the rope, they started tugging and pulling and grunting together, working feverishly to pull their wounded companion to safety. When they had him about three-fourths of the way up, suddenly one of the guys remembered, did he say he broke both of his arms? Hey, Joe, if you broke both of your arms, how in the world are you hanging on? Joe responds, with my teeth. People don't help much on tough days. They may have good intentions, but I have found during tough days there is a limit to how much human help can be. So what's the answer, Pastor? Are we just supposed to endure tough times? Are we just supposed to wait till they pass? No, you need to know how to survive tough days. Because you and I, if we are saved, we have an enemy. And the enemy will try the best he can to take tough days of our lives and divide us away from walking with the Lord. You see, in the book of James, the Bible talks about sometimes the Lord Jesus will send a temptation to you. Hold that thought. And sometimes the devil will tempt you. Well, Pastor, I thought the Bible said that God never tempts a man. Right, exactly. When you study those words in the first part of James, when it says that God sends a temptation, that word is not a temptation for evil, it's a test. Or a trial. It's that in your life that is designed to challenge your faith. It's that in your life that's designed to draw you closer to the Lord. It's that in your life that God is bringing for your good. By the way, He works all things for our good. Amen. But what the devil does is the devil will take that test that came from the heart of God to for our good, and he will begin to twist that sucker in such a way that he uses it against against the Lord in our mind, in our heart. And he'll begin to get us to doubt God's goodness, to doubt God's intention, to doubt God's love. He'll begin to see that came not for our good, but for our evil. And so he'll take the test that God had, and he will turn that thing into a temptation for us for evil. And I have seen him do it with tough days. Tough days. You know, there's not any kind of day that God cannot use for his glory. And so you need to learn how to survive tough days. Nobody understood tough days like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul knew what it was to have some tough days. And in the Galatians chapter 6, although the entire chapter is not lined and limited to this, there are four or five truths here at the end of this chapter as he is finishing up this letter to the church of Galatia that I do believe have some strength and some understanding for how to handle tough days. And the first one you find is found in verse number 9. The Bible says, and let us not be weary in what, class? Well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Most of the days that you and I would define as tough in our lives come to us in the middle of our well-doing. We can understand if we're sinful. We can understand if we have disobeyed God, because the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he does what? Chastens. Let me tell you something. One of the greatest ways I know that I'm saved is that when I sin and I do not respond to conviction and I do not respond with a repentant attitude, the Lord pulls out his brown leather belt and beats me good. That's what the Lord has, because when I was a little boy, that's what my dad had, and I thought I was going to meet Jesus with that thing one day. We understand if you can sin and profess Christ, but you never know the chastening hand of God, then the Bible says that you're not a son. You're an illegitimate in that position. But one of the best ways I know is through that chastening. We can understand days if we're in that position, but it's the days in which we are serving the Lord. It's the days in which we read our Bible. It's the day in which we prayed. It's the day in which we surrendered to do this. It's usually after on a Monday or a Thursday, after we've had a great time in the Lord's house, after we've had some kind of wonderful spiritual moment. It seems like then comes the tough day. And we need to learn how to survive that. And Paul says, now listen, one of the ways you're going to survive this is you're not going to quit. You're not going to lose heart. You know, there will be tough days. When you have tough days, you absolutely sometimes just have to persevere. You're going to have to learn to what it is to stand in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to have to understand what it is to be strong in the grace of the Lord. You're going to have to understand what it is to be resilient and not be easily moved with every wind of doctrine. Or in our text here, not to be faint or to be weak. You're going to have to know that determination that Daniel had. Daniel said, I have determined in my heart that I am not going to defile myself with the king's meat. I promise you, as a Christian, there's going to be some tough days, and you're going to have to be resolved that I'm just not going to quit on the Lord. Amen? We're so prone to quit. We're so prone in our thinking that we immediately think that our present condition is going to be our final condition. And we get so caught up in the moment of the suffering or the toughness of that time that we forget to look ahead. That we forget to look to God's word. And it's almost like that the moment becomes eternity and there's never going to be any future, or it's never going to be different. I promise you, every day of your life is not going to be a tough day. But you're going to have tough days. And not every trial that you are going through is going to be a trial for your whole life. You're not always going to have financial difficulty. You're not always going to be overlooked in a promotion. You're not always going to have the workload that you have. It amazes me how many men want to quit their job because their workload gets high. That's why you go to work. Right? Oh, man, Pastor, they're killing me at work. Well, that's kind of their job. Their job is to give you work. Your job is to learn how to enjoy your work. Your job is to learn how to, with the Lord in grace, go through it one time. I don't understand how we have a job and they give us work and then we want to quit because they give us work. And then we're going to complain that we don't have a job. You're going to have to learn to stand. You're going to have to understand that there's a tomorrow. You're going to have to stand it. You're going to have heart. I wrote a couple things down. Number one, do not make life-changing decisions on the tough day. Don't make life-changing decisions on the tough day. Don't come home and go, I am never doing that again. I'm finished. I'm done. You don't make decisions because you have a tough day. We make decisions because we're led of the Lord. We follow Him. And I have found that Paul is teaching us here that let us not be weary in well-doing. Well-doing, there's going to be a weariness there. Well-doing, there's going to be a struggle there. For in due season, we shall reap. That is the promise that if we are faithful and we are doing what we're supposed to do, that there will be a reaping. Now, you're not going to know the reaping if you faint. It amazes me how tough days just cause us to faint. I want to give you the best encouragement that I can give you. Nobody in here has ever had a tougher day than the rest of us. We all have tough days, and when you begin to look at them, they all measure out. I've buried tragedy. You've buried tragedy. I've had to sit there and a doctor come into the room and say, your daughter has a disease. I've had to have my mom call me and say, I have a disease. I've had to face the loss of job. I have had to face the realization that, hey, you may not have a paycheck. I've had to face the toughness of people talking behind my back. Who's doing that, by the way? I've had to face the difficulties. Sometimes we get to think that our problems are so big and so unique that nobody understands. Number one, that's not true. Number two, Jesus always understands our problems. But that's just like the devil does. He tries to get us over here. Tough days, you're going to have them. You're going to have to learn how to stand. You're going to have to learn how to be resilient. You're going to have to learn how to persevere. You're going to have to learn how not to faint. That's why you need the Word of God. That's why you need to know Scripture. That's why you need to know the promises of God. That's why you need to spend time with Him. Do not make tough decisions during tough days. Wait till you get leadership from the Lord. Number two, look if you would at verse number 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us, what class? Do good. Do good. Do good. How do you survive a tough day? Learn to do good. Our tendency when we go through a tough day is anything but that. Our tendency when we go through a tough day is we feel like doing evil. We want to cuss. Pastor, do you ever want to cuss? Sometimes I do. But I don't. I get frustrated, but I've learned that cussing and swearing is not going to help my day. And by the way, when you come home after a tough day, cussing and swearing at your family is not going to help your day. Fighting, pouting, getting irritated, throwing things, slamming things, burning things, going into this monster in your home that just has to be by themselves. That's all what the flesh wants to do. That's all what the old man wants to do. The old man, he's selfish, man, and he's sinful, and he relates to tough days, especially if it's in an authoritative position. He wants to haul off and hide and scream and be loud and destructive and all of those things. And Paul said, now listen, one of the ways that you encourage yourself, one of the way that you survive here is you learn to do good. To do good. I wrote two things down here. When you're going through a tough day, Come home and do something with your family. Do something with your family. Look what he says here in verse number 10. Let us do good unto, what's those words? All men, especially unto them who are of the household of what? Faith. You know, I have found that my little daughter Allie can put a smile on my face. I have found that my kids operate in a world that's totally separate from what their mom and dad operate in. And I have found that I can have a tough day here at church, and I can go home, and all Tommy wants to do is throw the football. And in the tendency of our nature is we go home tough day, and all we want to do is be left alone. Let me tell you something. There is something to get alone as long as you get alone with God. But if you're going to go into your bedroom and you're going to shut the door and you're going to stay there and you're going to mope and pout and curse and scheme and plan, then you're headed for a hard time. When you come home after a tough day, you cannot be a hermit. Our families are getting destroyed because mom and dad come home after a tough day and they just go hide themselves and the kids don't know what's going on and the one spouse can't talk to the other spouse and this spouse tries to ask questions and this spouse blows up and the guy comes home or the lady comes home from a tough day and all they want to do is be left alone. Listen, I can understand that if you're unsaved, but if you're saved, you ought to get with Jesus and get right. And then go be with your family. Don't go home and be by yourself. There's joy with your kids. I know I want to kill mine too. But I've found that there's a simplicity in a child's life. A child just wants to, they just want ice cream. And me too. Dad, will you please take us to Burger King and get an icy? Okay, it's 8 o'clock at night. I've had a tough day. I don't want to do that. But you know what? By the time I get to Burger King and get back, and I'm with the kids, I'm laughing. I'm having a good time. Learn to do good. When you're going through a tough day, all you want to do is take, 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 take. But the Bible says it's more blessed to than to receive. Now, it's contrary to your nature. But I promise you, if you come home at the end of a tough day and you give, or in the middle of your tough day, you learn how to give. And you learn how to take that position, you're going to find that you're going to end up surviving that day. The worst thing you can do when you come home is get by yourself if it's not with the Lord. Because you're going to get over there and you're going to stew and that enemy is going to begin to work on your heart and on your imagination. And my friends, pretty soon, even a Christian can think things they ought not to think. And by the way, your kids need their mom and dad when they come home from work. They do. They do. Learn to do good. Learn to do good. Look, if you would, at verse number 14. Paul says, I'll tell you what else gets me through the tough days. I glory in the cross of Christ. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. You know, there's a lot of times, folks, that your pastor has tough days. I haven't had tough days to where I'm discouraged, but I have them just like you do. There's a lot of times, you know what I find myself doing in the middle of a tough day? Lord, these things are so big and so proud, you're going to have to work them out. But I'll tell you this, thank you, God, for saving me. If you'll be amazed at your attitude if during a tough day you learn to glory in the cross. Because most of us measure our tough days by the thought of fairness. That was unfair to me. They treated me unfair. Tough day at work. Yeah, man, they gave me this tough day here. Yeah, they mistreated me here. Let me tell you something. If we got fairness, we'd be in hell. But hallelujah for grace. Hallelujah for salvation. I got news for you. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And there are times in your life where you're going to have to come home and all this pressure and all these decisions and all this toughness is going to be around you. And sometimes you say, Pastor, I don't even know where to begin. I'll tell you exactly where you begin. Thank you, God, for loving me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you, Spirit of God, for indwelling me. For no matter what, I know that I know that I know that I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. If that's you, say amen. There are not a lot of things to glory in the world, but we can glory in the cross. Paul said, listen, there's times in my life where I just found the greatest thing I could glory in is in the cross of Christ. Number four, look at verse number 17. You guys are benefiting. I preached long this morning, so I promised myself I'd get done early tonight. Verse 17, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. You know, it can be a tough day when one person is dominating your life. This is great advice. When you are having a tough day, you need to refuse to allow anyone to gain mastery over you. Let me give you an example on a pastoral level, and then you can use your own example. 99% of the church can be happy. And you get 1% of the church over here, and they're unhappy. And it seems like the devil takes that 1% and just dominates my thought process with that. Everybody at work can love you, but you got one person that's a thorn in your flesh. Well, you don't mind working for these bosses, but I got this one boss over here. Pastor, these people are so wicked. Everybody's like, this one guy's so wicked. Just tough, tough days. Listen, Paul said, don't let anybody gain mastery over you. Don't let anybody dominate you. Don't let anybody be in charge of your emotion. Don't let anybody be in charge of whether you're happy or you're sad. Don't let anybody intimidate you to that position. Don't let one person dominate whether you have a tough day or a good day. If you're going to let anybody do that, it ought to be Jesus. And sometimes, if you really stop and analyze your life, You get all worked up, and usually it's over one person. One person. And so we forget all the rest of life and dominated by this one person. We forget that we're healthy. Last I checked, healthiness was a gift of the Lord. You forget that you have a home, that you have blessing. We forget all that God has done, and we get just this one person that dominates our thinking, this one person that's killed us, and then our whole joy gets dislocated, and we find ourselves being mastery to this one person. You know what I would do with that one person? I know what I'd do with them, preacher. No. You take that one person, and you submit them to the hand of the Lord Jesus. And you say, Lord Jesus, you know this one person. You know this one deal. You know this. But I'm giving that to you. And I am not going to let this one person drive me to a position where I'm miserable. And by the way, that really is a sign of spiritual weakness if one person can drive you to a position of misery. Are you honestly telling me that you've got one person or one thing in your life that has got you so depressed you can't even thank God for Jesus? Do you understand that? Amen or oh me? We get to the point where we just let one. And most of the time, that's usually it's not even a saved person. Or sometimes it may be a saved person, but they're so wrong themselves. And so one person makes you change a church. One person makes you quit a job. One person makes you come home and scream at your wife and your kids. One problem's got you so depressed you can't even think about the future. One person's got you that all you want to do is be left alone. Listen. The problem is you got your eyes on the one wrong person. The one person we ought to have our eyes on is the Lord Jesus. You know how I encourage myself sometimes? With the Lord. Nope. With the Bible? Nope. With the church pictorial directory. Mm-hmm. I do. I rip one. No, I don't do that. Don't do that. And I get every once in a while one person. And then I just begin to open up that pictorial directory. I heard David Jeremiah say to do that one time. He said, you preacher boys out there, you're going to be pastoring these churches. And he said, you're going to have this one person. He said, I had this guy was driving me nuts. And one day I sat down and somehow I began to open up the pictorial directory. And I began to put my finger on people's lives and their picture. And they represented God's grace. And this person got saved and this and that and that. He said, pretty soon I forgot all about that person. Sometimes you just got to take control of your thinking and get it away from that negative and put it on the precious Lord Jesus Christ. Why would you let one person, one thing dominate you like that? Lastly, verse 18. Brethren, what's that word? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. You know, you're going to have to learn how to let the impact of grace flow through you. You're going to have to let your thoughts be protected by grace. Your attitude be guided by grace. Your responses be guarded by grace. Your words be seasoned with grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the sufficient grace of God. The sufficient grace of God. And what God does with His grace is He measures it according to your need. So you have a tough day. So you've got a person or you've got a problem or you've got this deal. You don't have to sit here and see how you're going to outwit or outlast or outmaneuver. You don't live according to a corporate mentality. The prayer is, now God, measure me grace today. Measure me grace, sufficient grace. God, pour it out to me. Help me to be a testimony. Help me to be a witness. Help me to live inside of that grace. And Paul said, let the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your, what's that word, class? Spirit. What's that mean? You're going to be filled with the Spirit of God. How do you survive a tough day? You start that day filled with the Spirit of God. If you come home at the end of a day and all you want to do is rant and rave and scream and curse and be by yourself, that needs to be evidence to you that you didn't start the day filled with the Spirit of God. By the way, you don't really get filled with the Spirit of God driving in your car. You don't get filled with the Spirit of God by just osmosis. You get filled with the Spirit of God by stopping and concentrating and saying, Lord Jesus, I surrender myself to the filling of the Spirit. You control me today. I give you my eyes. I give you my ears. I give you my tongue. I give you my emotions. You order my steps. I want you to live in me and through me today. And I surrender the authority of my life to the Spirit of God. If you do that and go to work, you're going to have a good day. I don't promise you an easy day, but I promise you as you come in contact with things, you're going to find that the Spirit of grace that's ministered in your spirit is going to be sufficient under those needs. The reason we have a lot of tough days that turn out to be temptations for evil is because we don't spiritually prepare ourselves. How many of you guys carry a lunch to work? How many of you carry money to work to buy lunch? How many of you have a uniform you wear? How many of you have to iron your uniform? How many of you send it to be cleaned? You know, we do a lot of things to get prepared for the day. You would think that the number one thing a Christian would do would be to surrender themselves to the filling of the Spirit of God. It's more important than any other preparation you do. Tough days. We all have them. They're coming. They'll be there. But a tough day doesn't have to destroy you. A tough day can turn into a triumphant day. A tough day can turn into a day that draws you closer to the Lord. A tough day can turn into a teaching moment with your family and your kids. I mean, mom and dad, if your kids see you come home and slam a door and curse at one another and all you want to do is be by yourself, that's teaching them how to handle their problems. So when they get married, They're going to come home and they're going to curse their wife. They're going to curse their children. They're going to slam their doors and they're going to hibernate by themselves on a greater degree than you. And you're going to have taught them that. I don't want to teach my kids that. I want to teach them that Jesus Christ is sufficient for all of our needs. Tough days. Going to have to learn to be strong and take a stand, not quit. Going to have to learn to do good. In the midst of that tough day, give, do good. Find a way to and somehow impact somebody's life. Don't hibernate all by yourself. Spend time with your family. Get with your church family. Be encouraged. Learn to glory in the cross. Learn that don't let one person master you. Paul said, I'm not going to let anybody do that. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord. And let grace be the domination of your life. Amen? All right, let's pray. Let's go home.